Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Anna, thank you for joining me on the Organize 365 podcast.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be a great conversation. We're going to start with like the regular questions I ask everyone, and then we'll rabbit trail as we usually do. And we're probably going to have rabbit trails that rabbit trail. Wouldn't you think, Anna?
Yes. Yes.
Based on where you found me. So where'd you find me, Anna?
I found you on the Attitude podcast. I was listening to getting associated with podcasts, and then you were a guest. I'm like, you know what? I can listen to this person. And I just kept listening right after and kept going.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, before we get into our rabbit trails, tell us who lives with you and your family.
I live with my husband. We've been married for 25 years. Last September was our anniversary. Beginning of the year, we had high hopes. Oh, we'll do something special. It's a 25 year. And yes, we know what happened. So live with him here. My daughter graduated from college last year. Well, what was last year? 2 years ago now, because again, the years are all blending. She actually lives in my mom's house. She's 23 years old. And then we have two dogs between both of us, and we share those two.
So the dogs like are shared between you and your daughter?
So we had the dachshund, and then when she moved to my mom's house, I'm going to take Poncho. Okay, fine. And I'm like, okay, I need another dog. So we adopted Sancho. I'm sorry they match, but they do. So we got the Chihuahua, and then the Chihuahua's like awfully cute. And then he started going to their house because they were great company and kind of like bounced off of each other. Well, one's mellow and the other one kind of calms them down. So, but now I have Poncho and she has Sancho at the time. So probably switch back because she's like, he's needy. I'm like, this one's so mellow. So, but we go back and forth with the dogs.
Funny is that? That's hilarious. Well, everybody knows we have two dogs in our house too, but Hunter lives upstairs with us and Franklin, our Chihuahua, lives in the basement with Abby. And it's like, you know, co-living. I don't know. The pandemic has made us all a little nutty, is all I have to say. Like everything that was unnormal is now, you know, whatever it takes to get through. You people, you do you, we're all going to be fine. So you were listening to me in an Attitude webinar or podcast. Did you find me because you always listen to their podcasts anyway, or were you specifically looking to get organized?
I was looking to get a hold of the ADD. I knew I could do a lot, but I knew I wasn't leveraging it the way I needed to. I know, you know, all the research I was doing is like the guy who created IKEA had it, Einstein had it, Disneyland came about from it. So I was like, okay, get a hold of it, use it to your advantage. So I started listening to podcasts in general back in, it was right around this time last year. My husband got me AirPods because I'm always doing conference calls for work. Mm-hmm. He's like, why don't you try these? I'm like, I don't have to. I like my other ones, but then I got addicted to it. And then, like I had mentioned before, I just started listening and you had the teacher approach and it was just like so down to earth. And like, it wasn't as dry, no offense to the other ones, but it wasn't as dry as the other ones. I'm like, I could listen to her. And then I went through that rabbit trail and I think I listened to everything that you had posted for 2018, 2019, and 2020. I didn't go too much farther back, but it kept me busy.
Yeah, I definitely create content. You wouldn't say that, oh, you know, it's such a bummer Organize 365 doesn't have enough content to listen to. I'm a talker. My mom used to say growing up, like I'd be asking her all these questions because I'm a questioner and I'd be writing them down and she would say, what are you doing? Writing a book? Like I remember, I was like 10 and I remember looking at me and saying, are you writing a book? And then I've written like four. I'm like, who knew you could make a whole career out of talking and writing. I love it. I love it so much. So you filled out the application for our Wednesday podcast interview, which in case you guys are wondering what the application is, the application just tells me the answers, like generally the answers you're going to give me so that I know that you know I'm going to ask you these questions. It's not like you're trying to get into Harvard or anything. So please apply. But The reason you filled it out was because first you sent me an email, and I love how you sent me this email. You say, I took the day off to catch up. My must-do index card included a quick thank you to you. And then you gave me this whole list of what has happened in your life in the last year and a half and how you really did get a hold of the organization that you needed in order to thrive in the middle of chaos beyond the pandemic. Additional chaos.
Yes, just a little.
Yeah, just share your story.
Okay, I'll just go and all I remember or what I learned from this last year is don't wish for oh for next year, because I remember at the end of 2019, I'm like, oh, I can't wait for 2020. It's going to be great. And it's like, okay, never again, live in the now. So I'll backtrack. So back in February 2018, we found out my sister had colon cancer. It was a very aggressive cancer. We didn't realize how aggressive it was at the time, but she was going to start treatment. My family, of course, like I mentioned, I have my husband, my daughter. And then, but on my side, my immediate family is my sister and my mom. So my sister and I, 21 years apart. So she was in her 70s. And my mom, we're all 21 years apart between the three of us, let me put it that way. So my sister had the colon cancer and my mom had a little bit of dementia. So she kind of knew what was going on for the most part. She lived by herself at the time. So February 2018, by the time they started the radiation, we knew it was gonna take a month, and they said, okay, this will start and then we'll see where you are at the end. 6 weeks or whatnot. So they finished the radiation in April. By the time they started and doing all the tests, she had a symptom in January. So she started scheduling everything. By the end of February, it was already at a stage four. So it's like, well, this is crazy quick. So fast forward, she started getting, it had spread everywhere by August. And I'm thinking, we have to get everything together. She was the primary for my mom. And she did all the business stuff for my mom, everything, all the personal stuff. They had their wills done together. And it's like, we got to get this all together. And we still had hope. I would say like September, October, we were looking for different treatments, different trials to get in. It was a whole different learning experience. So we did everything we could. December, she got into a medical trial. We had hopes for that. And then by the time January came, they had told us if it doesn't start taking, then there's not too much more. So unfortunately, it just started happening quicker and quicker. Back in January 2019, it just, by the end of January, she was in the hospital. She didn't go home since. Yeah. My mom kind of knew what was going on. She knew she hadn't seen her, but she had seen her until that time. She knew she was losing weight. But I guess trauma and dementia, they kind of would escalate it. So she would get upset that, you know, she had a cancer. Sometimes she would remember, but she figured out to a point when we started going the hospice route, you know, she goes, well, she's sick, I'll take care of her. I'm like, I need somebody to take care of both of you, because my mom at that time, she was 93. I'm like, you should really be living by yourself at this time. She's like, no, bring her over and I'll take care of her. We'll be good. I'm like, that's not going to work. So my husband was a tremendous help. I usually would go see my mom about twice a week and on the weekends. So my husband was taking care of that because I was with my sister in the hospital, just trying to make her as comfortable as possible. So she, my sister ended up passing the end of February. It was almost a month to the day that she had gone to the hospital. Wow. And it was funny, I hadn't gone to her home in probably 20 years. My mom lives halfway between both of us. So we would always just meet at my mom's house for like years. My mom is, you know, 45 minutes for me, 20 minutes from her. So I just hadn't been there. But as she got sick, I was spending more time there. And she's like, I don't know what to do. She had a lot of stuff. She'd lived there for 30 years. And it's overwhelming. Both my mom and sister, if you went back like years ago, they were like incredibly neat, everything in order. With my mom, it was the physical part. You can't do as much. You know, she was 90 something, for, you know, she couldn't keep up like she used to, type of thing. So with my sister's home, I know we had to get all that organized, but it was the paper that I was worried about, because it's like, okay, the wills and all that stuff that goes along with it. ask my mom. She goes, no, she has it taken care of. We're good. I'm like, no, you don't understand. We need to get this all in order. You know, something, you have to plan for that. She goes, no, she'll be okay. And then my sister, she's getting weaker and weaker at this point. I'm like, okay, I got the basics and I know where things are. They did have, again, they were terribly organized before, like in a great way. Everything was put away. Everything was like in a safe deposit box, but that was a whole different trying to get access to it after the fact. We did a lot of things. I learned a lot about power of attorney. I learned a lot of things about getting things, you know, who's the trust, who's the trustee, who can do this, and all the way things work. Again, they did a very good job with it. But my sister's will was done in 1994. There's a lot of things that changed legally since 94. My mom's is more current, but my sister wasn't planning on,
right?
You know, you'll plan on those things, you know, so you think things are going to go in the order. They don't. So she passed in February, and she was in a hospice facility. And I remember my sister's like, don't bring mom. I don't want her to see me like this. It'd be too much for her. It's like, you know what? And then, like I said, the dementia, she knew something was going on. So it was trying to get a little bit, I guess, more on that scale. So my sister had passed away. They had always said they had the arrangements in the past. They had talked about they were going to be together in the same plot when the time came. So I said, okay, so I knew that was going to happen. I knew where everything was. But it became tricky when I made all the arrangements. They're like, well, you have to bring your mom here because she's the primary on the plot. I'm like, no, you don't understand. She doesn't know yet. So I said, as soon as I do this and I get all the arrangements made, then I'll tell her. And then I got the, no, you don't understand. It was like, no, I need to talk to someone that will make a bridge to this. And I said, I can't make this stuff up. I can get proof of everything. So I got a doctor's note, basically. And then I started getting the legal stuff in order. I was crazy about the attorney they were working with. I have like a process where I interview people and I make sure they just, oh, well, he did my divorce and this is the son from like 1970. I'm like, oh my God. So this is who I was dealing with attorney wise. So we got everything squared away. But the day I made the final arrangement for my sister, I said, okay, I'm going to go tell my mom. My husband said he was going to do it. And I was like, no, I'm going to do it. So I go over there and it's just maybe 2-3 miles away. So I go to her house and unfortunately, I found her, my husband saw her Wednesday and this was Friday. She was flying Wednesday. I talked to her Thursday. She fell. So I was like, okay, I just got everything done. Called 911. She was okay. She was talking. I mean, she wasn't okay, but considering that the dementia was just like off the chart. She was asking for the baby. My baby's 23. So I just went along with it. Got her all squared away. Like this point, I was like, I'm not going to tell her anything. You know, even if I told her, she would forget. She was in the hospital for about a month. Got my sister, had services and everything. Everybody kind of understood where my mom was. I just tried to keep it simple. It's like, look, I got to focus. So I got my sister. Then I got my mom squared away. I did take a leave at that time. I took a couple of weeks off from work. I found a really good place for her. And it was funny. I was looking for hospice care closer to my home for my sister back in January. There was a place that was close to home. She goes, no, I want to stay in this place in Santa Monica. I'm like, you realize it takes me 45 minutes to get on the freeway. But if you want to be in Santa Monica, fine. So I was like, I'm going to use this place as a backup if I ever need it. I really liked it. And so I had that person ready. It's a boarding care. They have six elderly people there at a time. So I still had to do all my research. I probably still looked at all these. I probably interviewed like 8 different places and she was still the best. So she's there. She's still there now. It's going to be 2 years coming up in March. And she's doing very well there. But all the paperwork and all the stuff around it. And I sent some pictures to you. I couldn't have done some of the things I did without an organizer that I worked with. She was great. She's called the Clutter Fairy, or that was a play on the name. I found her and I was like, I need this help because my sister with LA traffic, it's not far, but with LA traffic, it could take me 2 hours to get to her house during the week. So I worked with someone. She basically helped me get everything packed up. I donated a lot of things. And again, you can imagine 30 years living in the same place. She was a baby boomer. She did not throw away anything, and she had a lot of things. So I probably started cleaning out her place, let's say April, where I got the help to do that, but there was still so much to wrap up. I got that all squared away. Probably took me till August. You know, the big, you got junk trucks.
Yep.
I think I filled out four.
Wow.
And they just didn't put it in a dump. They donated it. And they actually, right. I'm the business person where I got people introduced to each other. So I introduced the junk person to the Clutter Fairy, and they helped me. I was like, I want to go to this organization. I want this type of organization. They did all that for me. It took, just to pack everything, it took four Clutter Fairies, basically, about a week to get everything packed up. They documented everything for me, that I got that all wrapped up. And again, mom's sustained, but mom was still, she would ask for my sister constantly. And I talked to the doctor in detail, and they're like, whatever, she's not going to remember. So I would kind of test the waters. There's times I said, okay, I'll, you know, I will tell her that I would test the waters. And I was like, do you remember she has cancer? She's like, no, no. And I'm like, okay, so I'm not going to go down. And I was like, no, she's okay. She's good now. Not really lying. She was in a much better place. So it's like, I was in so much pain before. So then got the house wrapped up. So literally the paper and all the things associated, they couldn't go through all that. My sister kept everything. She kept every single ATM receipt. They were neat. They were organized. They were bundled. I don't need ATM receipts that were from 1990 something. So I had to go through all that. Careful what I shredded. Careful, like, again, all the confidential stuff. But literally, I was doing boxes and boxes at a time. So you're spot on when you talk about a banker box being 20 pounds. Let me just put it this way. I did about $500 worth of shredding.
Wow.
It, just the shredding alone, it took me, I only did it on the weekends. I have my full-time job. So I only did it on the weekends, and that was my Saturday and Sunday. It's like, okay, go through everything. Yes, can that go? Can that go? And I think now, after all those boxes, I have probably, you know, the rubber tub, the Rubbermaid boxes that are file boxes. Yep. I probably have like six of them that I've had to contain them and sort through. What I found was it was a lot of duplicates. So my sister had duplicates. So I got everything squared away there. Mind you, my mom's house was sitting, and I knew that house needed a ton of work. The house is 130 years old. It's been in the family for 100 years. So I have generations of stuff in there. My dad lived there. He never lived anywhere else. So my dad had passed away 20 some odd years. So I got my sister's paper put away. I thought at her house, and then she had stuff in storage. So I took care of that paper. Go to my mom's house. There's more paper there. So, and for some reason, they were throwing away nothing for the last few years. It's like maybe the last 10 years, paper bags, boxes, in case they need it. I'm like, how much do you need? So I would call the Clutter Fairy, and I was like, okay, you know that stuff that we got rid of? She stored stuff at my mom's house. So the house, again, 100 something years old, has a basement. There's stuff there. My mom lived by herself. It's a good size house. There was a lot of stuff there. So it's like, okay, let me get this house wrapped up with my sister. Put it on the market, had to do all the stuff associated. Never sold a house, bought a house, but I've never sold a house. So got that out of the way. And then it was about December, but so all during that time, happy that my daughter graduated from college, May of 2019. Yeah. Very happy. She was only about 4 hours away, so I was happy to have her close to me. She always loved my mom's house. She's like, I'm going to live there. I'll take care of the house. And I'm like, not in the shape that it's in. She goes, I could fix it. I'm like, you know what? You can, but you're going to be 40 by the time it gets done. So fast forward to my mom's house. We started getting rid of all the years as much as we could till about, I think we started in September, and I had someone lined up to help me basically update the house starting in December. So it took the 3 months, learned a lot about, again, you had to get rid of things. Anything that was broken, it's like, okay, you're going, I'm not going to bother with you. then I had stuff. It's like, okay, I'll deal with you later. And I still have one, we call it the little room. We've always called it the little room. It's just, it's a small, very small bedroom. And that's probably the last of all the important pictures and the sewing machine table that I don't want to get rid of. My daughter's like, do you want to take it home? I go, no, I'm not there yet. Let me get, you still have stuff at our house. So maybe when we get that stuff out,
we'll do a
switch type of thing. But it was a lot of getting that stuff together. So like September to basically December, let me just get everything put away. I called my junk friend again. He came up to the LA area and he helped me. That was only two truckloads, but we got that put away. And then what wasn't done at that time, we had to clear the entire house because they were doing everything. They were doing flooring. They were doing getting rid of years and years and years of wallpaper. Why you need so much wallpaper, who knows? They had to reinforce floors because, again, you're talking a house that's 100 and something years old. But there's also the good side of it. There was carpet. My husband's like, I wonder if there's hardwood floors. I'm like, the hardwood floors are going to be, no, you know, sure enough, he ripped it up. And I'm like, oh my God, they were beautiful. They're restored. So we're able to have that. And to think that I had my sister walking those floors, my mom walked the floor, my grandparents, that would be,
wow.
Like I said, my parents had me very late in life. So to get all that squared away. So we got the house. It's absolutely beautiful now. The neighborhood's up and coming. I'm still getting used to that part. It's going through gentrification. But again, that house has been in family for so long. But like I said, I shared some of the pictures and just to get that, it was completely cleaned out, painted throughout. Like I said, a lot of replastering, a lot of floors putting in place. Everything's updated and new. It still has that charm, but all that got updated and that was in September. And I would say So December, we had all that work done. They were done like the end of January. And then I thought, okay, 2020 is going to be a great year. This is exciting. I remember I did my Instagram picture that I put up. I wanted 2019 over with. It was just this crazy year. Somebody ran a stop sign and totaled my car. I'm like, really? I do not need this. I don't have time for this. Let's just get this fixed type of thing. So I remember I was so excited for 2020. And then I just remember things started to go downhill. I remember the Kobe Bryant accident.
Yep.
I've seen him grow up. So I remember my daughter, she was here at the time and she's like, you know, this house. I was like, what are you talking about? No. He's like 40. No, it can't be. And I remember it was late January. I was like, you know what? 2020 is not looking so good like it was. I was like, oh, what's going on?
Kinda
so
like
we all know what's going on. Yeah. So I just know I was like, okay, I'm going to live in the now and not worry about it. There's some good things that did happen in 2020, but I know a lot of people had challenges. But my daughter's house was good. Our house needs some updating, nowhere near what my mom did. We did this last Christmas. I didn't decorate for Christmas. What is it? The plan neglect. I was like, no, I paid for her college. I would have had a nicer kitchen before. So her college is all done. And it's like, no, let me just take care of this. So we did a lot to our house, just over the last few months. But the funny thing is, if you look at my sister's, then you look at my mom's, it's almost the same finishes. It's the same color scheme. I don't have that brain that is like decorative. No. Back in the day, it was like, things were like different shades of beige. Now they're different shades of gray. So I have gray.
Right.
Both houses. I have handle. Oh my goodness. I have the same handles that I was looking at pictures when I was putting it together for you. And I'm like, I like those handles a little too much because they're in all three kitchens and it all works and all worked out in the end.
Anna, I am so grateful that you told your story so succinctly, actually, and in such logical order. It was very easy to follow. Your story that you're sharing on the podcast is everyone's story. They don't want to say it because they don't want to put words to how painful those seasons are. Maybe it's spread out. You know, they have an issue with a sibling and then an issue with the mom and then maybe an issue with the spouse, not all back to back like you had it. But, you know, 3 years in a row, you have a year of your sister fighting for her life. You have a year of, you know, really losing your mom, but she's still here while you're caring for her. and settling your sister's estate. And then you have a year of really trying to celebrate the family that you have during a pandemic. And, you know, what I heard as you were sharing your story is all I kept thinking is what I have been saying. Someone is going to have to clean out these houses. You clean out your own or somebody cleans it out for you, but somebody's going to have to do it. And, you know, I'm very grateful that you were able to hire the help that you needed, that you were able to keep the houses as long as you could pay the mortgages and the taxes and all that. So you had the time. And when we cleared out my mom or my dad's house, we almost didn't take the first offer we were given on the house because we wanted a little bit more time. And my husband was like, are you insane? Sell the house, sell the house. He's like, we can't afford. And there was no mortgage on the house. He said, we can't afford the taxes, the upkeep, the chance that it's not going to sell again. He's like, you cannot afford to hold on to this house. You don't have the luxury of that time. At that time, we were as broke could be. Our kids were in an expensive school. They were very, very ill with their special needs that they had at that time. We did not have the resources to make it last any longer. And so we sold that house within 6 weeks of my dad passing, which made the experience go super fast. We brought all the paper home. So there is no good way of doing this. There's no easy way of doing this, but it is a life event that every single person will go through. Like every single person will lose somebody close to them. Every single person will have to prepare their own house for the inevitable or take care of their family members who have passed away. This is not optional. This isn't a, I'm going to choose to do this or I'm not going to choose to do this. This is a reality of life. Like, mm-hmm. These things have to be done. And so I think it's just, you know, reality. It's the reality of it. And the other thing that I thought about as you were talking, which I have verbalized, but maybe not enough, is that this 3 years of time, especially the first 2 years when your sister was fighting for her life and then when you were caring for your mom and your sister's estate, you were working full time. So you were working full time. No one stops the world from spinning. No one pays your bills. No one makes sure that everybody gets fed when these unexpected events that we know are going to happen, we just don't know when, happen. And they don't happen in a weekend. It takes years. It takes years for people to get sick, pass away, settle in a state. I mean, it takes years. And those are the almost the lost years because you don't remember what you did during that time other than work and take care of this estate. Work and take care of this estate. There were no other things that happened. I would say it's probably a blessing your daughter was off at college because you weren't missing any time with her because she wasn't there anyway. You know, sometimes like when my dad was sick and passing away, it was hard to care for my kids and run my little at-home business and my dad and travel and whatever. Like, and it's not the same for the men. Like they do. I mean, even if it is their family member that passes away, they're usually, if you really look, there are supportive female family members, even if they're like aunts or cousins or whatever, that tend to come around and help. But for women, oh, she's got this. She's got this. And frankly, we usually do. Like, we are pretty good at doing this kind of thing. And it really is, it's going to be done one time or another. You're going to get your house as much ready for your passing as possible. Or you're not, and somebody's going to do it. Now, I'll give you the example of my grandmother who passed away when she was 92. She was really, really good, like your sister was. She had her plot. She had her funeral arrangements. She had her will. She had everything done. And she had whittled down as much as she could in her retirement apartment. She'd been there for years. She was 94. Her spouse passed away at 102. So, you know, they had lived a good life. And they had whittled everything down. I remember in her last year of life, my mom said to her, Mom, can we go through this drawer? And she said, I've gotten rid of everything I want to get rid of. I like all this stuff. And that's true too. Like you get to a point where you don't want to live as if you have nothing left so that nobody has to clean out your house. So I'm not saying that. But the paper was still hard when grandma passed, even though she had it so organized. Like you said, what she thought was important paperwork wasn't necessarily important for future generations or settling the estate. So there's, you know, you don't have to live a completely empty life so that no one has to do anything if you were to unexpectedly pass away. But at the same time, you know, if they're empty mason jars and you're going to put them in the basement just in case, really just donate them. Like You don't have to keep everything just in case. If you have no idea how you're going to use it today, let somebody else use it today and buy it again or have it donated to you later when you need it.
there's people that need things. And that was, I mean, I donated. It hurt to do that because my mom, she bought like really, really good furniture. And that was the only furniture she bought like 60 years ago. And I had to take that cent. I was like, I don't need it at my house, but you know what? Right. Somebody needs this. And that's what got me through a lot of things. And both my mom and sister, very, very generous. Like they would want, if they could do it, that's what they would want, somebody to enjoy it. And I think I even mentioned in my email, once I knew, I was like, if I could do this year, I could do anything. And I remember when I was going through the attorney, he's like, you know, most people do things one at a time. And I don't know. I was like, don't say, how are you doing it? I'm just doing it. It has to get done. It's going to get done. I got great attorneys. I got great, just really great referrals. I'm an interviewer. That's what I do. So I was just hiring the best, and I had my questions and I knew what I wanted and what I didn't. Somebody did give me an answer. I got escalated, but it all worked out. And just knowing that there's people that need things, and that's, it was, like I said a minute ago, my mom and sister, very, very generous. It was really hard that first year of the Christmas and the birthdays. It's like, okay, you go through that first year, but it's the second year.
See,
and it's like, you know,
second year. I just guessed at that. Like, I have no psychological degree, but I was just like, logically, the second year has to be harder because the first year, everybody remembers, oh, how are you doing without your mom? Oh, you know, it's your mom's birthday. And then the second year, everybody's like, what's the matter with you? The second year, they're like, snap out of it. Okay, your grieving time is over. Move on.
It's like, no. So you know what? Last Christmas, did it for the second time in a row. Kind of paired up and did it at work, but we adopted families. I was like, what I would normally have spent. So we made some people happy. So contributed generously to that. My birthday, again, it was always, all of our birthdays, always such a big deal. So this last birthday, it's like, nobody can celebrate with anybody because of lovely 2020. So you know what? I bought a bunch of cake mix. I did something like this in Girl Scouts with my daughter, like, 15 years before. I'm like, I bought a bunch of cake mix and icing, and I like let people celebrate birthdays. I did like maybe a box full and just donated it to a food pantry. I don't know. They took it all and they loved it, but anything, people need things. When there was sales, and I love a sale, bought a bunch of crayons. They were going for 25 cents and it's a good crayon. So it's like, I stocked up, donated that. Cause again, you want to give, I'm big with kids, love seeing them just, again, let them be creative, let them be, who knows what resources they have. So that's my big thing. That's what I want to do with my time now that I have all this. Again, it's basically wrapped up. I guess the probate wise, with some of my sister's stuff, that is wrapping up in May. But there's so much more time. And just now it's just like, I just want to focus on me. So I did get the Sunday basket, and I only put things I like in the Sunday basket. If it doesn't fit in there, I don't have time for it. And if it's not worth putting a label on it, that's pretty enough. It's like, forget it. I think a lot of, I didn't say this before, but a big part of those 2 years, I think how I got through it, it's like, I swore a lot. It was really, so it's like, you know what? I mean, look nice and conservative, but you know what? Sometimes you just have to. And that got attention. Sometimes people moved faster. That was my, I used it when I had to. And I was like, okay, work with me. And I can't make this stuff up type of thing. So I think, like I said, see, isn't it cute?
Yes, that's, your Sunday basket. She's showing me your Sunday basket. It looks beautiful. Nicely done.
And like I said, if it's only nice, happy stuff, I'm putting it in there. And I think I started putting together my own Sunday basket probably, I would say, maybe in August. I started putting things away, and it's like, you know what? When you can't get it to fit in one box, then you get the good one. You know, you can do the bootleg version, I guess. And I see people, they're like, you know, I don't know if it's worth it, you know, on the website. And I was like, you know what? You get what you pay for. I don't buy cheap shoes because my feet are going to hurt. I don't like cheap makeup because it's going to look like cheap makeup. I have a little bit. I don't need a lot of it, but just I'd rather get quality stuff. So like I said, if it doesn't fit in the box, I'm done. So as I clear my schedule and just work-wise too, like you were saying, I work full time. I think when my daughter started college 2015, I was like, okay, I have all this time career-wise, I'll focus on that. I did do very well. I took on a lot of responsibility, but there was times I was working like 60 plus hours a week.
Yeah.
And then with everything else happening, I had to cut that down to 45 hours a week. So just really, when all the dust settled, I'm like, do I want to spend that much time working? I could be doing other things. So I'm figuring exactly out what that is. Whether it's, I'm big on donating things, like for some reason, just if I had to focus on anything, things I love, I would love to do, just donate to kids. There's kids that need shoes and books, just the basics. Yep. So when I hear people getting stressed about things, I'm like, if I can do anything, I would love to do that. And I just don't want to like, make a donation to organizations that exist. I want to set people up with organizations. So I think that's a strength of mine, networking wise and getting organizations to help each other. So I think that's pretty much my next step.
Yeah. You're so much of a connector. Like you could just hear it in your story.
I put people together. Yes.
Yeah.
I put people together and yes.
What do you wish you knew sooner? Like 3 years ago, what do you wish you already knew?
It all works out. Well, I always heard, it all works out in the end. And there's a saying associated with it, it all works out in the end, and it does. But also just like, don't look so much forward. Just appreciate everything. There's never going to be a good time, and there's always going to be someone that's going through something. I probably in 2018, between the latter part of 2018, 2019, I was in five or six, I've lost count, at least five different emergency rooms between my mom and my sister. So you go there and yes, we had something going on. You see all these people, they have so much more going on. And then to think of, yeah, that happened in 2019, it would be so much different if it happened now. I wouldn't even be able to go in there. I was very fortunate. I can't stress enough having those medical records, having a list of medicines. I always had like a printout. It was relatively simple, but to have that, because you don't have time to explain it. People can't look it up, but it's like, okay, here's this, especially with my sister's stuff. She switched insurance companies like towards the end. She wanted to, instead of going through an HMO, she wanted to do a PPO. So she had everything. We had a big case. I still have it, but all the medical stuff, I didn't want to hang on to that. I knew I just disposed of it. There was nothing. It's, done now, but just to have all those records and just what test did you take? What were the results? For us at that time, seeing how things transitioned, but that's how I learned.
Yeah. You've mentioned a couple of times just, being in the present and not wishing for the future, or I guess hoping for the past as well. It's really hard during a pandemic, isn't it? To be in the present. So the thing that helps me recently be in the present, and when I realize that I'm no longer worried, is when I don't have my phone anywhere near me.
Yes.
If I get into a good TV show, if I start a TV show and a puzzle, if I start to read a book, if I sit in front of the fire with the journal, if we just sit down to dinner and we're having a conversation at dinner, like during those times, I will forget. I will forget we're in a pandemic. I will forget about all of the unrest that is out there. I will forget about all the tragedy that's happening somewhere else. And sometime along the way, I'll be like, I haven't checked Instagram. I haven't checked the New York Times. I haven't, what's going on in the world? And so then I'll just check one thing. And 30 minutes later, I'm reminded of all of the bad that's going on everywhere, because it's never reporting all of the good that's going on everywhere. And there is good going on everywhere as well. I mean, a lot of the podcasts I listen to, websites I listen to, webinars I listen to, I hate to say it, but 2020 was a good year for my business. I don't want to, say anything, but we actually grew in 2020. We hired in 2020, but I don't want to really mention it. Like, there's so many companies out there that did better that feel bad for having done better. And I'm like, well, you kept the economy going, because if you didn't, we'd be in the Great Depression. Like, this is not a bad thing that companies were able to survive and thrive in 2020. And yet we don't want to mention it because there is suffering that's going on in the world. There is always going to be suffering going on in the world. And there is always going to be things to celebrate going on in the world. And so you cannot only focus on one and not the other. Just take each day as it comes. Deal with each day as it comes. Take an extra nap. Have another cup of coffee. Keep going. But yeah, as we're in, this is going to air, in the first quarter of 2021. I'm trying more on the weekends not to use my phone very much. During the week, it's easy because I have meetings and I'm off and I'm doing it. I don't have as much time to be on the phone. But on the weekends, I'm really trying to just kind of set it off to the side and sit in front of a hot fire and do a puzzle, read a book, talk to my husband, talk to my kids. They're all in our house. So far, they're all fine. And one day they won't be in my house anymore. And, you know, that'll be fine too. But empty nesting is not such a terrible thing. I'm just saying. But I am enjoying, I mean, I have adult children. I am enjoying this extra time with them. I'm sure you enjoy going over to your daughter's house that was your house. It was your mom's house. It was your, you know, like, yes. And the memories, the old memories that you remember and the new memories she's making there, I mean, probably make it even sweeter.
It's crazy to see things. I was listening to podcasts, my 80s music. That's got me through everything, but it was so strange. I'm going in there. She's in my old room. And again, we did updates. We threw another bathroom in there. We did very nice updates in there. And I'm like, you have no, But there was things I wanted to do in the house. My husband and daughter are like, no, you don't have to. I'm like, you don't understand. This house is 100-something years old, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's like, well, I was like, yes, I told you. Remember I told you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Anna, before we leave, is there anything that you want to tell people who are just starting on their organizing journey? Maybe this is the very first podcast they've listened to. What do you want to tell them?
Just keep going. I can learn to do it. And I think one thing you always say is it's a learnable skill. You can, it's not overnight. The done is better than perfect. If I can, just get it done and just keep going. It just doesn't matter. It's just going to happen.
Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Oh my God. Thank you. It's so good to see you. Like I said, I see you on Instagram all the time. It's like, she's there and she's talking to me. So
yeah. If you want to spend, 45 minutes with me where you get to see me like live in person, sign up for the Wednesday podcast. We want to hear your story too. Just go to organize365.com/Wednesday. Anna, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all you've done for so many people. So very much appreciated. It's been a great help.
Thank you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.